You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a really overly construed idea about self-diagnosing yourself that I think more of us need to really listen to. Or it's just really quirky, I don't know. But it's also maybe a movie called Dr. Bird's Advice for Sad Poets, which I think most of us feel like sad poets or people who need a doctor. Might just be me. But I am Ben, and I'm joined by one such doctor, Dr. Jordan Cobb.
Yes, it is my professional diagnosis that, yes, you must sleep with your mother. Oh, wait, that's a different patient. Hold on.
No, I think that one works universally.
No, now I have it. I have it. You must sleep with your mother and father at the same time to resolve your issues. Hello.
You know, that checks out. But someone who doesn't check themselves out often enough is Alex.
Yeah, I don't own enough mirrors. But I guess family game night will never be the same after that last discussion.
Look, you took the game of Clue a little too seriously.
Hey, it depends on if you take Operation to be playing Doctor, and then we have some real problems.
I was not sorry.
Oh, God, this is getting out of hand. So let's talk about the movie, which is, like I said, quirky is what it's going for and kind of
twee as fuck is how, yeah, I would describe it.
We follow our main character here, James, played by Lucas Jade Zaman. Zuman? God. He's got two M's and two N's. God help us all. Anyway, he is a very neurotic, very stressed, anxiety-ridden high schooler who evidently goes to junior version of Rushmore, I guess. Which this director would take as a point of pride as a reference, I think, because this movie feels very much like a Wes Anderson film.
It is a film school's graduate thesis film comprised of that studies the oeuvre of Wes Anderson.
I would say very much that, as he relishes in the feeling of being a Wes Anderson movie. Sometimes to a bad point, but we'll get to that. Where basically his sister has disappeared. He blames his father for kicking her out. His parents fight and don't get along, and clearly both have their own neuroses. And he very much is attracted to one of his classmates, Sophie, played by Taylor Russell, who doesn't know he exists as far as he believes, because he thinks no one knows he exists. But progressively, as he tries to investigate the mystery of his missing sister, they kind of connect and start dating and kind of go on a whirlwind adventure through the lens of a love of, you know, old school French film and mystery and film noir. And yes, a lot of Wes Anderson. Oh, and he also had made up his own therapist that's a pigeon because it was comforting to him and he knows he's got some issues.
Yeah.
I think I kind of have to end it on that for us to actually get to a discussion, because otherwise there's just so much I could detail about weird eccentricities of this film.
That's honestly perfect. I was going to say, when are you going to bring up the fucking bird?
Well, the bird's not in there that often, despite being a title point.
No, so. fair enough. I mean, as we discussed, Tom Wilkinson's got other shit to do. I mean, he's probably got like three new award contenders to go film or something like that.
Yeah, I heard that pigeon was a real diva.
Yeah, that too. Fuck pigeons. Filthy Spider-Man was right. Filthy Sky Rats.
Yeah. This film has a weird mix of different talent, too. Like, his parents are played by Jason Isaac and Lisa Edelstein, who I love both those.
Oh, totally.
And they're actually really good here, yeah. But it's like, it's part of that thing of the film trying to be too quirky and trying to go too many directions. Like, there's a bit of him, like, telling the story, at least as he understands it, of his parents' origin and their relationship. And it's such like a Wes Anderson like character description, but it's so late in the movie after we've known these characters so long, it just felt more out of place where we didn't need that. Because evidently his father is an ex-sailor and his mother is an ex-avant-garde artist, and they met at an art gallery, and now his father is a white sushi chef in the East Coast. Yeah, it's... Again, this film wants that quirkiness or that oddity to its characters, and I feel like, as I said, it leans into it too much. That scene came too late for me talking about the parents, and it also didn't really feel like they were a big enough character to deal with that. And, you know, I think that's part of the issue here, is this film wants to find ways to be like, oh, but don't forget we're quirky, to, you know, inject into the movie. And because of that, it's just like you keep sidetracking from once you finally pick up pace a lot of the time here.
The movie does often get too twee. Or, you know, quirky for its own good. It really does hurt it in a lot of places, because I thought that they'd done a really good job enough of defining the relationship of what's going on between James and his parents and such. Then, like, so much more shit is suddenly brought up in the third act, and especially towards when we feel like we're actually reaching the, you know, natural end point of this movie. It's like, okay, I kind of knew all this. I mean, some of it I implied, given, you know, clues, but, what the hell? So the movie does sometimes not really mesh well enough with itself, in all honesty, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I felt like this movie, if nothing else, was incredibly ambitious. It tried to include so many topics, like a tumultuous home life, running away, the draws of living in a cult, psychosis, neurosis, anxiety, raging hormones, slang.
Yeah. It's getting there with a lot of them. I think the biggest issue is this is 110 minutes, and I feel like the first like 30 to 40 is so much up its own ass of trying to be that twee and creative, where it's just like, no, we get it, he has quirks, his family life's difficult but quirky. It's like, no, please get to the point about the missing sister or trying to get the girl or something. And when it finally does, I mean, look, I will say he does have chemistry, thankfully, with Sophie, which works. But when they actually first hook up or connect, it's like, cool, this wasn't like you built up enough for me to see this first connection. But afterwards, you start seeing it's like, yes, you two work together. And then it does drive the rest of the movie. And that's why it works, is because the rest of the movie is mystery and him finding romance and kind of coming out of that shell of his anxiety. And that's when it starts to work, because it also starts to look at the actual psychological, you know, impact on him and his family, and kind of addressing how everybody has psychological things they need to deal with, which is, I guess, the moral of this movie and something I definitely agree with. It's just, it takes so long to get there that by that point, I'm like, why didn't you just focus on this more? It would give your movie so much more depth and life for the whole film.
And yeah, you kind of brought up my biggest thing to say about this movie, is that Taylor Russell as Sophie is my shining light. I thought she was just exceptional. Like, she actually, yeah, she came across as honestly natural, honestly someone you'd want to be around, because they're pretty fun and such. And the way her feelings actually develop for James and vice versa. And I also like Lucas Jade Zuzana as James. I thought they had great chemistry, but yeah, Taylor Russell is the bigger standout to me. They're honestly a great couple to watch.
Yeah, I felt that this movie riffed on a lot of the tropes of similar disillusioned high school student movies. But it really didn't have much to say about it. There wasn't much concise commentary on how, I don't know, how we should feel about things like that. What's positive or negative about it? It just threw a lot at you.
Yeah.
But I had a good time with it. It was fun.
Yeah, I mean, I will say the soundtrack to this movie is also really good. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And learning what, you know, the Cleveland accordion is.
Oh, boy.
It does have its own... when it delves into teenage, you know, high school parties and sex acts and all that, it very much relishes in those moments. And I think it's also, again,
oh, yeah, at the Baron's champagne social. I don't remember the full fucking name.
There's like a champagne croquet social.
Yeah, something. Like, yeah, I think it's something like that. This movie is so fucking goddamn twee as fuck. I stand by it. I also do wonder, how good would this movie be if I were high as balls, too? Like, I feel like I would get such a different experience.
Speaking from experience, it made it really funny, but it also made it really overwhelming. It felt like it was edited to the Flight of the Bumblebee.
Oh, yeah, probably. And again, another thing I wanted to bring up about Taylor Russell as Sophie is that I'm glad they really didn't go down the manic pixie dream girl route. Like,
yeah.
Like that is something I totally expected. All right, I was honestly dreading it. But they actually made an honest, you know, believable relationship. Where, yeah, it seems like they might not be for each other, but, you know, you give it time, you give it some space, and, you know, something beautiful does blossom. It really is one of the better examples of how opposites can attract. I think I've seen in a good while.
Sure. Where they leave the relationship at the end of the movie, I think is the right place for.
Oh,
them.
I agree.
And it's something I was worried they wouldn't get to, because the movie is kind of imbalanced in that. And also the conflict that actually separates them. There's one part where it gets really the stupid romantic comedy one, and that one pissed me off.
Oh,
like,
God,
no matter how neurotic this kid is, I was just like, "Fuck you, movie! This character is clearly smarter than that, even if he's neurotic out his ass." Like. Come on. But when the actual conflict that they actually have that affects the relationship hits, it's like, no, that'd do it. That would very much do it.
You brought up the stupid, typical rom-com one. And yeah, I was rolling my eyes. I even rolled my eyes at how just fast they got over that. But then, what you say, the actual event is. And yeah, that made so much more sense. Because I've also kind of had that sort of personal experience of just having a moment where you just sort of shut off. And there's a lot I can also relate to about this movie, because it honestly took some courage and just begging to be, you know, sometimes to be like, look, I gotta get help. I know I have to. Because I would just be a mess. I do love Tom Wilkinson as Dr. Bird whenever he's around. And yeah, I do find it strange that Dr. Bird is the main title and he's in this maybe 20 minutes. I guess I wasn't keeping track because I kind of just thought he'd be a constant presence. But,
yeah,
whatever. I mean, this movie just has so much going on that you'll be questioning so much. Like, did he really just say love liquids?
Yeah. I feel like this movie has a better understanding of neurosis than psychosis, because the bird doesn't really follow him around. But they do a very good job of just showing the anxiety of constantly overthinking every single part of your day. But at a certain point, his obsession with her borders on misogynistic. Like, yeah. he almost objectifies her and puts her on a certain pedestal and doesn't know her. But as he gets to know her, I guess he'll learn that. But, like, he idolizes his friend who is just sexually promiscuous, and he's like, oh, that's really cool. I wish I could do that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. His best friend, who's, like, apparently sleeping with a married woman. And
yeah, that, like, his friend's just, like, a douchebag in every way. And it's like, yes, we all have that douchebag friend. It's like, no, like, in high school, I guess if you have low self-esteem, the guy's semi-loyal to you while being an asshole, but that was a lot.
Although, yeah. Although I would say he did kind of bring up points like, she's the one going outside of her marriage. I'm just...
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? He's got a point.
Yeah. His best friend would have been a good vessel for explaining sex positivity, where that kid was...
Yeah, that would have been way better. Like...
A lot. This movie needs to... This movie has a lot of things that it could have spent more time on, or any time on, when it spent time on everything
else. This movie definitely could have benefited from, I think, just a little bit more screen time. A little bit more time.
For sure. Well, Jordan, why don't you roll that into your final thoughts?
Okay. So, honest believability between the two young leads, but especially, like, a standout performance by Taylor Russell as Sophie... I love the accuracy of what it's like to overthink and just be neurotic and anxious as fuck, because that's been so much of my own life as well. And the positive message of being like, hey, it's okay to ask for help. Just, you know, make sure you look out for what's in your best interest, not what's in the interest of anybody else. Fantastic soundtrack. And yeah, this movie, it's a bit much. There's a lot more I wish it could have gone into. And at times, it is too Wes Anderson-y for its own fucking good. It's too quirky at some points. But I will say, I actually did very much like the final act, because I found it to be very touching in a lot of ways. So... what I will give this, I lowered my score as I was still thinking about it, and hell, even during this review, but I am still going to recommend it. I'll give it 7 out of 10 poems about jerking off.
All right, well, Alex, how about you?
As much as I enjoyed this movie, it really lacked focus. It checked so many different boxes of the stresses of young adult life without going into them far enough to give you any sense of understanding. And that really knocked it down for me. And not enough Dr. Bird. I loved Dr. Bird. So I'm going to give this 6 out of 10 things that you could only learn from Urban Dictionary.
Yeah,
I learn everything from Urban Dictionary. Oh, good God, this explains so much.
Hey, that's why you're on One of Us. I get it this now.
Hat. Oh, boy.
Now, I signed up for this thing first, I think. And honestly, it was because I was like, okay, I could use some kind of quirky, interesting, you know, comedy mystery. And honestly, it's like this falls somewhere between like an unaware mystery team and like an actual... like Wes Anderson movie, and it never seems to find its footing fully. When it gets to like more than halfway through the middle act, it gets really solid. There's somebody we haven't discussed that I'm going to not spoil who it is, because it's a nice cameo that comes up in the mystery, which is a really funny scene, especially like what happens to our two leads to get to like the next part of that scene is like, oh, this is way over the top, and it kind of plays up to this movie's weirdness. And this is the type of weird this movie needs. I do love where it gets to in the end with when he finds out more about what actually happened to his sister or where she is. It gets to a moment where it's like him learning something and then him like you know, setting his life and somewhat his family straight in ways that like this movie drives as being kind of what it wanted to do the whole time. And that's great. That's where this movie shines, is when it finally gets to like this character realizing things about himself. I will say the very last scene in this movie pissed me off because it's just like, oh yeah. And then suddenly out of nowhere, we need to be funny about his neuroses again. It's like, please don't. You just set this movie and this character
reset back. The counter.
Yeah. Totally. It just, such a problem with this movie where it just doesn't know what it wants. I'll give this director definitely another shot. Yaniv Raz, who wrote and directed this, because there's a lot of potential here. And I think this is his first big feature, but it's just not enough that I can 100% recommend it to anyone. So I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 toys that end up becoming very therapeutic.
I was going to say, for a movie about neuroticism, it wasn't very introspective.
Yes. Now let's go into that. How did that make you feel? Did it bring about any childhood trauma or perhaps sexual inadequacies about yourself?
Is it still Freudian if I want to sleep with his mother but not my own?
Hold on. What did Carl Jung say again? No, wait. I have the true lessons of my mentor, Dr. Fraser Crane, and that is, yes,